I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
The Celtic Exchange, a fresh insight on Celtic Football Club.
Hi folks, welcome to the latest episode of the Celtic Exchange Weekly. This is Tino and I'm joined by a full house of Miff, James and Paddy as we cover all things Celtic. Miff, your first show of the year, I'll come to you first. What are you saying?
I prefer you looked at me than looked at Kaz. I prefer to get all your attention, Tino.
He's talking to
I'm
listeners.
Very well. That's fine, but I'm more important.
I'm only kidding on, guys.
I'm very well, been a while, glad to be back. So, hello Tino, hello James, hello Paddy, hello listeners. We bought a transfer chat, so it's good. Refreshed after the break, I would say, but really looking forward to getting back in it because you just miss Celtic when they're not playing.
Yeah. Any comment on the fact that we're now on the 15th of January, halfway through the month, and as of yet, we'll get into Nicholas Kuhn just shortly, but as of yet, nothing confirmed. How you feel about that?
No, very good, if I'm being honest, but if there was ever any doubt that Mr. Lawwell was back in the building, that's now been removed, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Paddy, what about yourself? What's your latest?
That's good to have you back, Miff. Good to have you back, James.
You, Paddy.
Happy New Year.
Cheers, Paddy.
To you, gents.
Mouser's looking stronger than ever.
Well, it's in certain lights, aye. In certain lights. I think kind of just waiting. I think to see something along the lines of this is a big target for us, and then to see that we were maybe holding out for 200 grand for a £3 million player, sounds very Celtic, and that's a little bit of a concern, especially going for other targets, which I still think we need this window. I'm not panicking in terms of who we're being linked to. I do like when we do kind of keep things to ourselves. I think that works well for us, but I think maybe if it comes to the last week and we're still waiting for that left back to come in, I would have a bit of concern there. But I think we'll go into it later on today, but I'm still kind of looking at the team. I think if we bring someone like Kuhn in, and I've seen that article released last week from Stephen McGowan in terms of the Abada thing. I think McGowan's been quite a spokesman for Celtic lately and how they put the press out. So I don't know if that's just a replacement in terms of bringing Kuhn in. So therefore, I would still kind of say I weigh a little bit light in that position.
Mm-hmm.
But again, yeah, we can have that chat today.
We will do. There's loads of rumours doing the rounds now. There's a few that have ramped up just today, Monday, as we record. And you're right. It does feel that we're still light in the wing area, despite the fact that we've got loads of wingers.
And but quality, though.
Yes, exactly. So it's numbers rather than quality. Paddy, it's nice of James to join us fresh from his appearance on the Graham Spears podcast. I don't know if he's got to different levels. Making a January transfer of your own, James?
No, I didn't want to do it. It's just because you wouldn't do it, so I had to do it.
unavailable, Miff.
Aye.
We're too uncouth for James Spears.
James was on discussing the fallout, the Willie Collum situation and all that stuff. It's actually a pretty decent listen.
Don't sound so surprised.
It's actually all right. Did Graham have his cords on?
It was audio only, so
it sounded like he had his cords on, though. That's the main thing.
It always does.
James, you're always concerned about the ongoing action or inaction from the board. How are you feeling?
Not surprised. Turns out the surprise was when Ange was here and we were doing business in January early doors, so we're back to the norm and making excuses for ourselves before things even start. Good to see things starting to move at all today with Kuhn by the looks of things. And even if it's just rumours, good to see some noise going around in the positions that we know we need to fill. Not a lot of noise around the striker area beyond Christopherson, is it?
Kvistgaarden. Mateus Kvistgaarden, Bronby.
So I'd like to see a lot more activity in that regard.
Do you not think it's just mental that you know the break's coming, you know the squad's got to be depleted by players going away, and yet it's a week before a game?
But
and we're still here.
This is what we're saying. And I know it can't be this way, but optics are important. What it looks like to Celtic fans is that between 1st of September and 1st of January, they're all, you know, away down to Seamill, or playing Connect 4 in the office, or just doing absolutely nothing.
And then
run about panicking mm-hmm. for 30 days in a transfer window. I know that can't be the case, but optics are
important.
Feels like
do you?
It does
feel like it. It does feel like it.
I've got the image of the fire alarm scene in the office, the American 100% office.
100% it's happening.
About that, happening. The other thing I'm thinking on with what's going on is it's a case of we're trying to be shrewd with our business in sense of players need to leave. And are we struggling to get suitors for those players? I know a couple have. It's not an excuse, absolutely not. Aye. We should be powering through to make sure we go and win this league title. But my concern is that are we saying, no, actually, we need to lessen this wage bill?
But this is another Celtic habit of old that's come back. There was none of this with Ange. It was just, right, you need the players, get the players, and we'll deal with the outgoings at the same time or thereafter. Kind of thing.
That was a desperate time, though.
Absolutely. But we're in a situation at the moment where the squad is in a poor state. There is 60 million on the table there, and they're rucksacking Rodgers with bad transfer windows before he was even in the door yeah. second time. So it's just, you need to deal with the financial hit you're going to take on the increased wage bill, because it was your own fault for the mistakes you made, you know, prior. But we need to get the players first and foremost mm-hmm. and deal with the financial side after.
Well, somebody that maybe has more inside knowledge than us might tell us otherwise, but what's to stop us, or what did stop us, getting Kiernan 2 weeks ago? Why have we waited to mid-month, and then he'll have some personal stuff to now sort out?
It's 2 grand a day.
And it might be next week before he's in the building, and you know, before you know it, he's behind the curve again. Why not just do that early? You know you want him. You know the guy's maybe keen on a move. The club are willing to sell him. Why not do that end of December, start of January?
I think they've scouted him on the basis that if Abada says it's not happening here, then come and get him. I think that's what's happening. I don't want Abada to leave, but I think he's going to go.
Yeah, tell you what we'll do, we'll get into it all in just a moment, but just some quick housekeeping before we do. So if you're enjoying what we do here at the Celtic Exchange, please take a few seconds to help us out in one of two ways. Number one, if you listen to the podcast on Apple or Spotify, then be sure to follow the show there to ensure you don't miss any episodes. And while you're there, please leave a short 5-star review. If you watch the show on YouTube, then simply like this episode and subscribe to the channel if you aren't doing so already. These small things are free for you to do, but make a big difference to what we do. Separately, if you love the Celtic Exchange but hate adverts, then there's a way to listen completely ad-free and to support the show at the same time. And links on how to do so, either in podcast format or on YouTube, can be found in the show notes for this episode. James Nicholas Coon, as we've already touched on, first big question, is he another project player or one that's ready to go?
No, I think he's ready to go. Yeah, I mean, project players are guys who have very little in terms of game time in established leagues, and I don't think, you know, Austin Lee can necessarily be called that. He's not a kid, he's not 19, he's what, 24?
Yep, 24. Turned 24 on the 1st of January.
So, and, you know, there's guys who are excellent at, you know, the opt-in, the stat side of things, and they mark him really, really high. So, no, I don't think we're looking at, and the fact that they can rate him really high is because they've got a body of stats to go on. So, no, I don't think we're looking at a project here. I think you're looking at a first-team player.
Yeah, Miff, just to give you some of the information. So, as I say, 24 years of age, turned 24, 1st of January. He'll arrive, to be confirmed, but it looks imminent, in a $3 million deal from Rapid Vienna. Apparently in London this afternoon, getting his medical. In his short career so far, he's transferred between RB Leipzig, Ajax and Bayern Munich, albeit he's featured for their second string before eventually ending up at Rapid Vienna. He's been capped at all youth levels for Germany between under 15 and under 20. He's left-footed but comfortable on either wing, and as you might have seen or certainly read, he's got blistering pace. What's your take on him, if is it a guy that excites you?
Well, I just think of the last winger we signed for Ajax.
Yeah, Borrector.
Borrector. And he is possibly one of the worst players I've ever seen in my life, not just playing for Celtic. He was horrendous.
Didn't even get to see him.
Horrendous. I'd seen enough.
They're not scoring against Ross County in his debut.
No. I think he fell over looking for a penalty against Ross County's
and
debut. And probably was never seen again for 6 months. I'm trying not to let this signing excite me, on the basis that it's a pretty much a template Celtic type of signing, mid, you know, lower to mid range fee for a player in a position we've already got quite a lot of players in who might be quite samey to who we already have. Made the mistake of them watching YouTube highlights, and it appears that the strikers in his team don't particularly like putting the ball in the net, because his stats would be far better if, from what I've seen, some of his chances that he created were converted. He looks direct, he looks fast, he looks like he's got a trick. Here's hoping that he arrives with confidence and brings that onto the pitch, because the nature of the teams that we play against we need that type of player who's going to be direct, who's going to take people on and cause disruption in defences. It's just as simple as that.
Get a new category for you.
Right.
Go. Best fullback eliminator.
Right, I like that.
That's one of his things.
I like that. I just think he appears in profile, you know, you're right to mention his pedigree there, Leipzig, Ajax, Bayern Munich, and even then going to Rapid Vienna and establishing himself, he seems to have been keen to go and seek first team football, which is great. Move to Celtic, higher profile, brilliant. It seems to tick a lot of boxes, so I'm quite excited about it. But at the same time, whilst I'm happy about that, the lack of activity elsewhere and apparent lack of movement elsewhere has also got me a bit nervy.
Yeah. Paddy, here's a statement for you. Can you hear your thoughts? So Celtic cannot sign the 24-year-old winger who's good enough for Ajax or Bayern Munich, but maybe we can sign one who's been around that level or maybe just below it, and maybe that's just what Nicholas Kuhn represents for Celtic.
I think so. I think you don't knock about those clubs for no reason. Someone's seen something in you. I know what you're meaning with Bo Richter, but I think even football's changed in the 10, 11 years since we had him at our door. I think that for me, it's at a really, really good point in his career, nowhere near his prime, but also at a point of, right, if I need to make a statement in football and I want to make as much money as I can in football, now is the time to do it. I think he definitely has got his head down and going to Rapid Vienna and making a real claim for them and being their main man in the wing. And I think that he'll now be looking at the opportunity to come to Celtic. It's up to him now to grasp that. Maybe the likes of Leipzig, Ajax and Bayern were all too much at a younger age. So I'm really intrigued to see what he does now. I'm quite excited about it. I really am. I think it's a bit of a strong signing for us if we get him.
Yeah, there's a guy I started following on Twitter just across the weekend. You might have seen his account doing the rounds, Invert the Wing. And this is a guy who seems to have this encyclopedic knowledge of the various wingers around. He's a big Spurs fan, he's a big Ange fan, and he was pitching the eight wingers that Ange could and should be signing in January. This was from around about October time,
yeah.
And Nicholas Kuhn was one that he got particularly excited about. He actually, you know, of his various recommendations, Kuhn was, I think, second top of his list on a guy that Ange should sign and the reasons why. There's a good quote from him. It says, I don't know why it didn't work out at Ajax or Bayern, but he's absolutely dominating at Rapid Vienna. I'm a huge fan and think he can be a world beater. He's absolutely rapid.
Vienna.
Like that.
It's just coincidence. Oh, he's absolutely rapid.
Sorry.
He's absolutely rapid, has a great reading of the game and has a brilliant understanding of game state. And I'm like, what does that mean? But game state means determines how you approach the game.
The state of the game.
Aye, kind of. If you're winning, losing or drawing, is you get the savvy to keep the ball, blah, blah, blah. So, smart player, experienced player at a young age in various different things. This guy certainly knows a lot more about him than I'd suggest we do at this moment in time, and he's really excited, so should we be equally excited?
Absolutely. I mean, like I say, I don't think this is a project, and as much as we do have a lot of bodies in the wing positions, I wouldn't say we're overly delighted with them. There's a lot of got to go. Mikey, it's time. Telio looks like he'll at least go back to a Suyon loan, if not just permanent. I don't know whether it's physique or something isn't going to work out for him. James's elder statesman, still very important for the squad to have him around, but shouldn't be starting games and all that stuff. And I'm sure he's... it is what it is, Miff.
Sorry, I was just calling him.
Comes to the best of us. Abada's interesting. I'd love him to stay. And if you're going to take Abada's jersey, your numbers better be amazing, because his are. I know he frustrates players, so you know there's maybe an improvement that can come in from Kuhn in that regard. You know, just be more consistent. But wingers aren't necessarily consistent players, you know, so we might have to go through a wee bit of that with him as well. Like I say, I would love to keep Abada, but if he wants to make his move elsewhere, that's up to him. It wouldn't really be like Celtic to be going and signing a guy before letting the guy go, so either it all happens together or it doesn't happen. If it doesn't happen together, I think Abada stays. Palmer's got a lot of improving to do, so you've got a guy who can play left or right, which is really important because we're kind of hamstrung at the moment. If Palmer's playing, then you're just having to fill your right berth and you're having to fit left wingers like Maeda into right wing spots. So this gives us a bit more versatility. Yeah, I'm excited about him. I'm sorry, I've let myself go. I've watched the YouTube reel. I'm all in. Don't let me down, Celtic.
It's pretty good, though, isn't it?
It is. I've seen someone good. Comment on it, though, saying, I just see Marco Tilio do that in the summer. And I was like, it's a different level of league. Come on.
I was going to ask a question. You've covered bits of it there, James, but what does Kuhn signing mean for Celtic's other wingers? So we've got the Abada chat, and I want to touch on that for a second. In fact, let's do it right now. Why are we continuing to get Stephen McGowan leaking that kind of stuff? It's so transparent.
Shop window stuff, though.
Do you know what's interesting as well? McGowan's headline this morning was Celtic to sign Coon for $2.8 million, which is clearly a Celtic brief number, mm-hmm. so that we can shut up the 200 grand stuff. Everyone else, everyone reputable, Auntie Joseph included, €3.5 million, £3 million sterling. So there is a conduit from Celtic to McGowan still.
100%.
Is it just the case that he's the favourite go-to journalist and the PR team seem to like him and he gets the inside scoop? Is that just how it goes?
Well, what
for a long time.
Aye, but what Celtic fan with any respect for themselves reads the Daily Mail?
Do you know what I mean? Else you need to pay. So I've clicked a couple of links on the Scottish Daily Mail and like, it's a subscription fee.
I think they just generally know how much of a following the guy's got as well, though, on Twitter, because he has been right so many times in terms of stories about us.
Can we do it?
Well, I'm sure they'll trust us. but the thinking for me is that I don't think anyone's clicking and reading it. I think they're grabbing the headline off it. And I think that 9 times out of 10, the information he's providing is right. I've seen a few saying that they don't think that this is going to be the case with Abada, but I just think that it's not even like the Celtic fans. This is grief he's getting from back home.
Yep.
From his own international manager, the pressure's on him.
And politicians.
I feel for the young guy. I really, really do.
What is he, 21?
Aye.
Do you know what I mean?
I just think...
Ridiculous.
It's a bit of a
joke. I was so pleased at the warm reception he got when he made his comeback. He's obviously played a couple of times since. But beyond... I'm glad that happened and that's set in stone. But beyond that, he's maybe now... he's got a decision to make, hasn't he? He's got huge pressure on his young shoulders.
I think he maybe made it well before all of us. I've just got a feeling in it.
I would agree with that, Paddy.
I think that he's... you know, we heard the stories of him showing up at Celtic Park and stuff like crunch talks about his future at that point. He was injured. I think he gave Celtic the chat of, let's see how things go. But our fans will, and rightly so, haven't changed their stance on how they feel about what's happening over there. But ultimately, he's brought up in a different culture. I'm not saying that he supports any of that. I'm just saying that he might not agree with the same view that we have as human beings, to be honest, because of the world that he's been brought up in. Again, in a footballing sense, he was a Celtic player and he was supported correctly so on the 30th. I just think it's a shake of the hand and all the best for your career. I don't even think a loan move helps.
No. I think it might be heading that way. So we'll watch closely as everyone will, but it looks like Abada maybe running down the clock on his Celtic career. That aside though, just going back to the general situation on the wing, so Tillio that James mentioned, he's in the Asian Cup at the moment with Australia. How they pick him or what basis they pick him on, I don't know, because the guy's just not played any football. However, he's been linked with Melbourne City and Sydney FC. That's his two former clubs back home. So if he goes there and gets game time, then so be it. It's the right move to get game time somewhere. Whether he has a future at Celtic, who knows? The other question marks, definitely Mikey Johnson, you know, big fan and all that stuff, but you've got to question Mikey Johnson. James Forrest, the two of them have found themselves all of a sudden in the periphery. As soon as Maeda and Abada became back available, those two were back on the bench, unused. And obviously, you've still got Dyson Maeda, Louis Palma and Yang. There's a lot of bodies there. Miff, just specifically, Danny McGee, good friend of ours, asked the question, with the imminent signing of Nicholas Coon, is the Mikey Johnson experiment finally over? What do you think? Can you elaborate, please? It's a podcast.
All right, sorry. I think that there's probably just a lack of trust for Mikey in a footballing sense as to how robust he can be over a period of time in a game, and that was exposed ruthlessly towards the end of the Rangers game. He can't be trusted to... We spoke there about Nicholas Coon and his reading of a game state.
Mm.
Mikey Johnson failed to do that.
Reflex and tricks.
Yeah.
Failed to tuck it back in goal side of his man. Now, I don't know what level of football you play at. If you know the best attacking threat comes for the right back, and you're the left winger and you've went on and the other team's pulled a goal back and it's a derby game at home, if you can't have in your head, what age is Mikey? 22?
24.
No young kid anymore. If he's not got that,
yeah,
what can you do? What can you do? And that's no harm to the laddie, because I think coming through the ranks, he's always been the difference maker, the guy that has been probably a bit of a luxury player because of what he can bring you, because of what he can offer. So it's maybe just
a
set of circumstances for him where he won't provide us with what we need in that particular position. he probably won't get to play the position he ultimately wants to play, which would probably be as a 10, because he doesn't do enough consistently. It's a shame, because he was, as far as a talent goes, coming through the youth ranks, probably as good as we've produced at a young age.
Right.
And injuries have really, really hampered them. It's a shame, because I think under Lennon really trusted him, and he was a difference maker for Lennon a lot of the time, and it looked like he was going to kick on, and then he got that badging up at St Johnson, which was obviously the night Lennon kind of blotted his copybook.
I think that affected him, not so much the injury as Lennon's
But I think psychology there, yep, as well. There's a lot of circumstances. I agree with that.
I would say he needs to be mentally stronger as well.
I do agree with that. There's loads of different circumstances, and unfortunately, I just think we've got to the end of the road with Mikey, which is a shame, because everybody wanted him to do well. But when an element of the fans turn, it makes Celtic Park a very, very lonely place, especially for a winger who is entrusted to take people on, to make things happen. If you don't feel truly you've got the backing of the fans, I think that's difficult.
I think he had it, and for that, you know, he was given that, you know, slightly extended run, and the fans were right behind him.
They weren't. I felt they were.
I would say Celtic Park.
I thought he was getting good support.
We're forgetting James is obviously up in the sky, orange, you know.
Oh yeah, with the press pass.
So we hear it a wee bit. I know you and Graham would have been up having a red wine. We hear it just out in the stands, mate. So sorry. It's just a wee.
We are matching cards.
At least they're opening the wee window.
Well, the high poly are cheering, Graham. It must have been a goal.
Boo, Mikey, boo.
James, what was the category, the term you used earlier on, though? Defender eliminator?
Fullback eliminator.
Mikey Johnson can be that guy, and he has been that guy. And
fullback eliminator, first man cross hitter.
Potentially. But I just don't see the fit for him now that we're starting to add further quality in the shape of Cun. So it's a really tricky one there.
As
much as it's baffling that, you know, Tilly gets picked for his international team, you could level the same as far as John Johnson was getting picked for Ireland.
They're in a post at the moment.
I know, and not for sale. So
I've got a question.
Other people see something in him. You know, I think he needs a move. Yeah, I think it's just that simple. He needs a move. Cut it. Go. And I really hope he's successful elsewhere, because I don't think he was too bad in Portugal, was he?
No, I think he would actually move on level and do really well. I don't think he would prove us wrong, though.
We'll see. We'll move on. We'll I want to ask about James Forrest.
That's enough Mikey bashing.
we'll move on now.
Sleeves getting rolled up a bit further. Right, lads.
James Forrest, I was going to ask, and it would sound really harsh, what's the point in James Forrest right now?
Where's
lad.
Where's James Forrest been the last four games? Don't need him.
Supporting the lads.
And now you've got Nicholas Kuhn, and you don't need him further.
Listen, I think he knows that. I really do think he knows that. However, his purpose of this season was to be another player noted in our Champions League team to allow us to select other players. Simple as that.
Here's the thing. So I'm asked the question, and it sounds sharper than I intended it to do. Here's the reason why.
I'm ready to go.
Here's the reason why you'd want James Forrest around, and you've touched on it with Mikey Johnson. It's game state awareness. If somebody knows how to play out a game, it's James Forrest. He's got the intelligence and the experience that if you do throw him on the last 10, 15, 20 minutes, whether you're chasing a game or defending a lead, he's got the smarts to go and do the right thing.
But he's also got to take young Nicky up Bath Street and get him steaming. Forrest is the guy who I think has a lot of importance in the transition of squad members coming in as well. I think Ange had mentioned that a right good few times.
He was actually him and McGregor were the two guys that got the team over the line in Scottish Cup final when they knew Ange was gone.
Yes.
He was heavily credited with that. So, you know, he's got that elder statesman, so club man, you know.
I think when it comes to Forrest, I just think, in my opinion, in terms of place in the squad, absolutely bomb-proof for me.
That's not me.
Let's move on. But it leaves us, James, in a situation where I think, correct me if I'm wrong, then the four first choice wingers are Dyson Maeda, Louis Palmer, Yang, and now Nicholas Kuhn. Is that the four main guys?
I think so. I think there's enough versatility in that.
It's very Rodgers, isn't it? Wingers cutting in.
Yeah,
it really is. And I think that do we eventually see him go for that left back that's going to do the Tierney role? You know,
I think. Kuhn can hit the byline and get them in for Kyogo.
Just meaning on the left side as well. Yeah. You think back to Tierney under Rodgers, I don't think Lustig was doing
that. But then
much.
You need to change your striker if you're going for that. You need a Dembele and a Edward, you know, a bigger striker? Or you know.
Nope.
No.
Kyogo, you give him the service, he scores the goals.
Height-wise?
Doesn't need to be boys high, though.
I think
we need a byline. We need a byline.
I think Rogers wants a physical striker.
Keep the high boys low. Is that what we're saying?
There's no doubt Kyogo suffered due to lack of service. You can argue that he's been a bit off form and dropped a bit deeper and all that stuff, but the lack of guys getting to the byline and whipping it across the face of goal has been evident.
I think it's also safe to say it's not a Kyogo issue. It is a service issue. I think there was a few going down the other route.
The service is... led to a drop in confidence from him, which then you then get a couple of bad games, but that's because of the service caused it. You know, because he takes it on his shoulders, you know, he takes it to heart. So for me, it's not a Kyogo issue at all.
Yeah.
It's not.
Anyway, just to round up the chat on Nicholas Kuhn, he started 22 games for Rapid Vienna this season, so fitness shouldn't be an issue at all. Should he be thrown right in for the Bucky Thistle game?
Do you know my only reservation is Idiguchi and the hammering he took in Alloa and he never came back for it? So I don't think there's any point. Maybe give him 10, 15 minutes as a you know, get legs warm kind of thing, but I wouldn't be risking him in a game where you've got guys who are maybe looking to just, you know, make a name for themselves, not in terms of injuring someone, but being a wee bit over excited in a tackle. I think there's a risk there. Overzealous.
I suppose that risk applies in every game though, doesn't it? You know, whether you're Bucky Thistle or Dundee.
I think when you're going low level to high level, I think there's more chance of that.
But just on Kuhn or anybody?
Well, you've got guys in there, you know, every player could be getting that, but I don't think there's any point in risking your brand new guy in it.
Yeah, given where we are, so it looks like he might be confirmed within the next 24 hours and I don't know, you know, how soon he gets to train with his teammates. It would probably feel a wee bit too soon just to pitch him right in, but it'd be good to see him in the squad.
Yeah, I think we'll see something of him. If it gets over the line, I think we'll see something of him Sunday, I would expect. I take your point about Edogucci because that just... practically finished his Celtic career. Yep. He just never get a run after that.
Some challenge.
Doing well now. Good on him.
Yeah. Aye. No, it's good to see. It's just a shame it never worked out for him because by all accounts, it's the type of player.
Mm-hmm. He was maybe the best of the three that signed.
It's the type of player that we needed. But I would expect if the deal gets done, we'll see something of him.
Here's hoping. But listen, lots to get excited about by the sounds of it. So let's see if we get a first glimpse on Sunday of Nicholas Kuhn. We'll now take a short look at the transfer action in general. Very little by way of incomings, as we know. Few outgoings, couple confirmed today. Lots of rumours doing the rounds. But before we do so, let's take a short break.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome back, folks. We're now going to take a look at Celtic's January window so far. And as discussed, there's not a lot of incomings just yet, but there is a few movements here and there. So outgoing just today confirmed that Adam Montgomery is going to Motherwell on loan to the end of the season. He was recalled from his loan at Fleetwood, where I think he went down initially with Bruni, didn't he?
Aye.
Other news you may have seen and heard over the weekend, Kwon on loan to St Mirren. Interesting, Miff, I'll come to you in a second on that. And Yosuke Adeguchi, he's now gone back to Japan on a permanent basis. He's joined VCL Kobe, which was Kyogo's former club and Kobayashi's former club. So a few moves there. Let's get your take on them, Miff, before we go to some of the rumours, of which there are many.
Montgomery, good that he'll be back up the road. You know, he did feature fairly regularly in Angie's first season. And, you know, he's quite a lucky guy to get a move to such a beautiful, beautiful part of the country. So I hope he enjoys that. Edogucci... Like I said, just a shame that it didn't work out for him, but good luck to him going back there because he appears to be doing very well. And
Kwon, but not forgotten.
I actually was really, for some reason, I was just really excited when I seen that because what I thought to myself was, good, there must be something there.
Yes.
But after the intense training that he's obviously done after his cameo against Bilbao, which will live long in the memory, very rare you get a 0% pass completion 45 minutes on a football park, and I thought this has got to be
right.
Be difficult, but it bodes well that he's been, the fact that someone has been loaned to an SPL team that's came for the Korean League, they could very easily just put him back over there. They've given him out to St Mirren. Obviously Rodgers and Robinson seem to have a good relationship as well. There just seems to be a wee something there that I just hope he comes good. I really do.
Somebody on Twitter, I think it's maybe Stephen Daly who follows us, had asked the question, what is Robinson taking him on, what basis? And it's obviously there's not a lot of football to see. There's no competitive minutes for Quan so far in a Celtic shirt. But you're right, Miff, I think Robinson and Brendan Rodgers have got a close relationship. And Rodgers must have said, listen, there's a player here. He's not going to fob off a guy that's useless. He's basically saying there's something here. Mm-hmm. We want to keep a close eye on him. And it might be a good move for all parties.
I believe, not that I'm on body watch here or anything, but I think Bacchus went to Australia to the Asia Cup. And he's a very good player. I think he's really decent. And they've had a few midfield injuries as well. O'Hara's been out as well. So I think that...
They were light against us a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, so, and I think that very much showed. So it'll get minutes.
Aye.
You know, they need someone in that position. So we'll be able to see by the end of this if we've got something there.
Yeah. I can see me at some St Mirren reserve games.
There's no doubt.
You know, and wherever Mikey Johnson is.
Well, he was getting on the bench there, just in the run-up. He was bombed out completely. Yeah. I mean, I know obviously they just do a lucky dip to see who gets on the bench, but still, he won 3 weeks in a row.
I think there's something there. There must be something there, and I think it's good that we'll all be able to keep a close eye. I actually think, James, it's Tommy Toner, good mate of ours and listener of the show, who often talks about, as a general strategy, Celtic should be loaning their players out to other teams in the
absolutely. He talked about it for years, like giving your best players that aren't your, you know, players that aren't playing, if you get the best of them, give them to Aberdeen, give them to Hearts, give them to Hibs, because they can't play against us and they can play against your rival.
And I think more importantly, in this particular instance, it's a case of Quan not forgotten.
James said it earlier on, mate.
Did you? I've never heard that. Cut that bit out, Tino.
This is awkward.
That's a tough one.
Let's go to some of the rumours.
Hashtag ox.
Various rumours, Paddy. The Matthias Kvistgaarden one from Brøndby, the striker, that still, you know, manages to do the rounds.
How do you pronounce that, Tino?
Kvistgaarden.
Thank you.
Decent. Rocco Vara seems to be heading to Italy, either Bologna or Como. Serie A/Serie B, so it's a call whether he wants to go and get first team football in Serie B or go to Bologna and take his chances.
Slash.
Gustav Lagerbielka, he's linked with Serie A. Genoa or Lecce, how's my pronunciation?
All right, good.
Fantastic.
And the other chat is Kobayashi might be going back to Yokohama Marinos, where Harry Kuehl is, and we've not covered Harry Kuehl, but he's gone. And Kobayashi might go and join him back there at his former club. So, Paddy, any thoughts on the various rumours?
I think potential good moves for Vata. Really sad that we never got to see him. I'm of the belief, though, that
something's happened there.
Something's maybe happened, but I also think that
he's good enough.
I don't think he's good enough. That's what I'm thinking as well. I think
not fast
two
enough.
Managers have come in and both done.
He's got something, but not enough.
If you're getting linked with who you're getting linked with, yeah, all right, it's Serie A, but I mean, we would do a number on both those clubs.
It's a slower game. I think he's too slow.
Aye, you know? I'm not surprised.
I think this reeks of possibly him wanting more too soon and being pushy around, you know, potential
it's,
first
it's
team.
It's not him that's been pushing, it's been his dad, believe it or not.
So I think it's maybe
Big Rudy.
In relation to that, it seems like...
Is it like Dembele's situation, remember? Young Dembele. He rated himself very highly, but wasn't...
Not dissimilar. And they think, well, no, we can, you know, he deserves to be playing a lot more, a lot sooner. Now, I can't say I've seen enough of him to say that he should or shouldn't be. Ange seemed to be relatively sweet on him, but as soon as Rodgers came in, he seemed to go right down the pecking order, especially given that 6 months there, you would have expected.
Yeah.
If he was anywhere
when we were crying
near,
out.
Yeah. He would have got a shot.
Yeah,
and it also goes back to the sale of Ben Doak.
Mm-hmm.
If we'd only held on to him, he would absolutely be a first team regular.
Yeah. He wanted to make his
frustration.
But no, I get why he left. I'm not, you know, that was one that clearly he got offered an opportunity, and it's been proven right because he's featured in Europa League, etc. Yeah. But what I just mean is, had he seen it out, he would have probably established himself.
No doubt.
For all the time though that Celtic and the academy have spent on Rocco Vata, he'll now move on for something like a 300k development fee, which is really frustrating because I think they had high hopes for him, and it's just
and then playing Serie A. It's not. He's gone. I know. You know. You've took issue before. academy graduates playing for the likes of Ross County and Falkirk and things like that. You know, is this?
You're just training them up for that.
Yeah. Whereas this guy's going to go in and play in Serie A. To me, that just feels like, put it in the reverse. If we were signing a youngster, 17, 18 year old from Bologna, you'd be like, oh, brilliant. Aye, maybe a bit of a project, but great. It just feels going the other way. Is there no something we could have done there? But again, as I say, you need to trust the coaching staff there. Okay. Trust
grand,
the coach.
Grand scheme, mate, though, I think that we're not losing out much. We're still profiting, effectively. And I know where you're coming from, but we've lost some big players lately. And, well, some big youth prospects lately that have went to bigger clubs than what are being mentioned. I think about Morrison and...
See at Wigan,
Bayern Munich.
He's on loan. He's still got... They rate him highly at Munich, but they were less than half a mil. That wasn't big money for that.
And Barry Hepburn.
They both went for less than half a million, I'm sure. And I think that the one that's we're going to kind of worry about when these kind of things happen is obviously if we do see a player like Ben Doak, but the move is just too big for them. They're not going to knock it back.
No.
I think Celtic are comfortable making that amount of money on youth players. It's us fans that are not comfortable seeing all these youth players with potentially leaving.
I know, because we as fans don't view the academy as a money-making exercise. We view it as who's going to be the next superstar, the next KT, the next James Forrest, the next Callum McGregor. You want to get excited about somebody like that, and that's just not happening. You know, there's a couple of kids around that might go to do things. Who was the young lad came on against Feyenoord, the left-back?
Mitchell Frame,
for example. You know, there's a bit of hype about him and some others, but we're crying out for that next big superstar for the academy, and it doesn't seem anywhere soon.
We are, but we're also a club that needs to win week in, week out, and I just don't think they want to take this. But then I know they've had an absolute horror show of a season so far this year, but you look at Ajax are kings at what they do with their youth teams, and I think they
cycle.
That's why they have that trajectory into
it. Yeah, and I'm just a bit like... But ultimately, their fans still demand success every single season. They don't care who they're up against, and 1-0's not a good. A 1-0 win's not a good result in their eyes. And that's kind of the same as us.
I mean, they were rioting this season. Uh-huh. The game was cancelled, wasn't it?
To be fair, that's finer than they were getting destroyed pretty early, but I don't think you would do that.
Anyway, to bring us back on track, a couple of rumours that I've not mentioned, I kind of should have scribbled them down. Owen Beck, as I'm coming in tonight, there's rumours about him coming on board from Liverpool, ramping up. Paddy, you and I had a quick chat before we came on. The suggestion is it might only be a 6-month loan deal with no option to buy at the end of it. You wouldn't be best pleased if that was the case. So Owen Beck, for anyone that doesn't know, he's the young left-back. He's a Liverpool player, but he spent the first half of the season at Dundee on loan and done very well.
I think he done very well, and I think that, you know, I would be interested in signing him. I think the deal needs to suit Celtic, though. I think we speak so much about players coming in and settling into the team, especially the players we sign in January. For me to sign someone and then just let them go in the summer and start again, finding a left back that's hopefully going to come into our style of play, I just don't think it works. I think we've seen a lot of the new guys that joined us this season, especially the window that we had in the summer, and the ones that we were hoping to kick on for us and really stake a claim, they were getting into that first Champions League game and they still didn't really know their position in the team. I think that if you're going to try and replace that position from Greg Taylor, you get someone, yes, with an option to buy, or you go and sign someone permanently. Celtic do not have the luxury of turning to Liverpool and say, we'll wait and see who we get, though. It's not going to happen that way. So if we get him, brilliant, but I would still be looking for a left back. I would be looking for someone that's going to stay with us and really, you know, be that player that's going to take the jersey from the start of next season.
Yeah. If you can see Paddy's point there, you'd absolutely want someone that you can start to build around and potentially have someone that's going to become a permanent part of what you're doing. But if the choice were, and it shouldn't come to this, but it might, just the way Celtic are currently operating their business, if the choice were you get Beck in 6 months and that's all it is, or nothing at all, you do take him, don't you?
I think you have to. You know, Taylor's done well, and I think he's come back to a bit of form, but I think you need to be fair to Taylor as well. He's got a really heavy workload. It has to be cheered out. You know, it'd be good to be able to rest him at times as well and just keep it fresh. Beck looked pretty impressive. You know, he's quite tenacious in the tackle. He's been back to Liverpool when they've had a few injuries, specifically left back, but then they're playing Joe Gomez there, so he's probably looking at that and going, I'm as well back out on loan, so it'd probably suit him. But I agree with Paddy, you're wanting us to plan a bit longer term. You make a good point. You know, we just don't appear to be operating just now the way we've previously been operating, and I think we just all need to try and get comfortable with that. We should demand more, but in the short term, is probably the type of signing that it's proven at the level. But ultimately, all we're doing is development for Liverpool. You know,
Maybe. You know, you get the 6 months out of him here, and then you get to repitch in the summer when, you know, all things being right, we win the league and we're in the Champions League. And you get to say, look, there's your platform. Because you go back to Liverpool, they've shown they're not going to play you, putting Joe Gomez in front of you. So what's the point in going back there? There's no window for you. Come here, whatever the numbers may be, we'll get into the Champions League, give you your platform, 2 years, and then you go back down south, whatever it may be. I think there's always a chance to repitch.
I don't know, did you see the film game when Gomez played it left back? Yeah. He's obviously a physical specimen, gets up and down the park, and a good defender. But he was trying to cross the ball with his left foot and just bang the ball at the park.
Were we not linked with him a few seasons ago?
I think so.
Probably.
I think I was doing the rounds as well.
Probably even for left back.
If there was an option for Celtic to turn around and, like, I'm pretty sure Liverpool would be very upfront and say, no, listen, we see a future for this kid. Mm-hmm. 18 months, take him on loan for that. I would do that. That's a different ball game. Give us a full season out of him. I think 6 months doesn't make any sense for any party.
Yeah, I can understand that, and we'll see how that one goes. The last one, just to touch on, again, it's a Liverpool player. It's Kelleher, the goalkeeper. Yeah. Mm-hmm. His name's done the rounds since at least the summer. It seems that there's something to that. And on paper, James, he would seem an ideal replacement for the outgoing Joe Hart. So Joe Hart, I'm saying outgoing, I think he'll be outgoing. Joe Hart's 37, I think he turns 38 in April. This boy's 25, very good with the ball at his feet. Spent a lot of time, gets decent games. I think he's featured at different times, League Cup-wise and otherwise this season. He's clearly well-rated down there. The question is whether Celtic can make the numbers work. There's a suggestion they might hold on for a premium, which you get. You see the nonsense about guys that never feature for Man City, then go for 40-odd million. I hope they're not trying to do something in that style, but he would be a good catch for Celtic if we can get the numbers to work.
Was he contracted another year after the summer?
I'm not sure.
I think it's something like that. I think your best pitch is more along the emotional side. So his brother played for Celtic Youth, never really made it, Fiacre. I think he was captain, actually, but never made it for any...
Good knowledge.
Any great numbers, never made it first team. So I think if you're going to get a keeper like that, and he's absolute talent, and he's long-term prospect as well, you'd have to go down the emotional side and say, look, come here and, you know, speak to like Fraser Foster and stuff and say, you know, what was that like playing in front of all those fans? He'll have he's got that Celtic link through his brother, so... I don't think, apparently there's two Premiership teams scouting him just now as well, and if he's going to go now or in the summer, that's mad. You know, even if we get a number that we can afford, say it's like something, I'm saying 10 million, not that we'd spend that, but say it was like we're going to spend in the summer, that guy's 7-8 million, the wages the Premier teams will give him will be like 60-70 grand a week. That's what would kill you. So his agent would probably be nudging him along that way, but if you catch him on the emotional argument, you get a chance.
Just get a couple of beers on him.
Absolutely. Give him a bar seat with
the boys.
James.
The boys CD.
The thing is, James, if it's between 8 and 10 million for a fee, Celtic should pay that. See, if it's a 25-year-old goalie who could be a long-term solution, they should pay that. But it's the wages. I mean, Paddy, what do you think a guy like that's on as the sub-goalie at Liverpool? Any
50? 40 or 50, I would say aye. And the thing is, if we do go and sign him, we would need to match that, if not a little better, I think. I don't think at that age in his career, I don't think he takes a wage drop.
But he needs to play football.
But no, I get that, but he could, that's the thing.
He does play, and I know it's not regularly, but he's trusted enough to come in the cup games and things like that, so.
He's not got the Irish number one jersey anymore, not for a long time.
No, because your man's playing.
Yeah, I'm playing amazingly. He's loan Germany.
Fulham, just now.
I think he's in loan somewhere, is he?
With Fulham from Southampton.
Right, sorry.
I believe, I may be wrong. I'll double check that. But I think for me, he's it's a win-win for him because he could come here, make a name for himself. The sad thing is for us is if he comes here and does well, we'll lose him.
After a season?
A couple of seasons maybe, but we'll make money on him. So that's why I think it's a no-brainer in terms of just going and going for him. I really do. I think any good goalkeeper up here that does well in Europe for Celtic gets that next step.
I think we're in a couple of seasons business. I think that's our profile.
I get that, but then you do nothing in Europe if you stick on that basis.
We had that chat last week, so we spoke, myself, Paddy and Assam, about Matt O'Reilly and could Celtic potentially, you know, convince him to knock back any offers in the summer. He will get offers in summer and he'll most likely leave in summer, but could he be swayed by the we're building something here and you're a key part of it and that's a sell? So instead of getting these guys for 1.5-2 seasons, maybe you get them for 2.5-3. But my head just tells me that James is right. It's a 2-year thing at Celtic for these great players, which is a Sad I know, where we are.
It's horrible as well, because you get so attached. You know, you think of Angie's first into second season team, you get so attached to them, and then slowly you don't realise it at the time, but then you look back at the starting lineup and you go, geez, seven or eight of them are away. And it's just the way modern football is. You look at that, if you look even to the lower leagues in England and even in Scotland, you know, teams like Motherwell, St Mirren, they're effectively a new squad every season. It's just because they're trying to wheel and deal, and
they do well, of course they do.
So it's just the way modern football is. But for me, Kelleher is exactly the right profile. You know, a young enough keeper would have a resale value, so I would keep Big Pedro happy if he did dip into his pockets, which looks unlikely. But I agree. I think he's probably, from a Celtic point of view, overexposed in England. That he's been in the shop window, and someone, you know, relatively established England in the Premier League would buy him and he would improve him.
Is that where we're at now, Paddy? We can't get Liverpool's number two. We need to start looking at team's number three goalie. To Miff's point, guys that haven't really played many times but has developed at a decent level, club.
Can I remember when we signed Tony Warner? And that was the chat to everyone. He's Liverpool's fourth choice goalkeeper.
Warner was good.
Would tell you that. He was all right.
Good enough for us. Really good goalie.
Yeah. Anyway, before we just wrap up the transfer chat in general, any other rumours that you lads have heard that I've missed on? There's lots doing the rounds, but they seem to be the main ones for now.
We'll just start making up rumours on the spot. Is that what you're really asking for?
Could do that. We'll do that next week. Okay. Let's take a short break before the mystery sale, which this week is coming from James. Welcome back, folks. We're now going to do this week's mystery sale, which this week will be provided by James. But before we do so, let's take a quick look at last week's mystery sale, which Paddy brought to us. Did you two lads play along at home? Do you remember enough? I'll give you the clues quickly, just in case. So clue number one was, this player played in, as well as Celtic, played in England, Cyprus and Thailand. Clue number two, he has six caps for his country. And clue number three, he played under Harry Redknapp. Did you get it?
I thought it was Skepo, but I was wrong.
Oh, no. Any idea, Muff? Not get time to
ponder.
Let you stay deep in thought. Mark Burchell was the answer. Provided by Paddy's wife, who seemed to have a thing for Mark Burchell.
She did.
At least back in the day. I don't know if it's still live, is it?
I don't know.
He's around.
I don't know. I'm still here. Handsome. I'm here.
So am I. I'm here.
Your own thoughts on Mark Burchell.
It was actually decent. Probably just came through at the wrong time, really, because I think Larson was obviously there, and then we invested heavily in Sutton Larson, and then that was when he sort of moved on. So, but a good goal scorer, and was probably just shy of being a top level striker, but was still a very, very good striker and had an excellent career.
Yeah, kicking about Celtic, kind of the late 90s, and Paddy, you mentioned Tony Warner. Both of those players played in the 5-1 game. Probably the highlight, that, you know, the peak for Mark Burchell, scored the fifth goal.
Great goal.
Really good goal, and I met him at the Palace that night, Hamlet Palace. So, big day for Mark Burchell.
A very big day. I'm sure you remember it.
Got to meet Dino.
We were in the gas. I was working in the gas that day.
That's correct.
I was working in the gas that day.
More relevant stuff that people won't be interested in.
Everyone will sleep the night.
But he was unlucky. He was a decent striker. I think he still holds a record for fastest hat trick in Europe for Celtic.
Against Unicesh.
Yep. So, and as you rightfully say, James, we're only have a decent career, done the rounds. And I think his daughter plays for Celtic women's team at the moment as well. So he's still there or thereabouts, Paddy. So, keep Kate in the house if Mark Burchell's doing the rounds. Okay, James, you want to provide the clues? You want to provide the clues for this week's mystery sale?
Please hurry up and move on.
Aye, move on.
Provide the clues.
Say something. Anything. Right, easy one. New year. It's an easy one for you, right?
Paddy McCourt.
Eventually, you'll get it eventually.
Good lad, Paddy. Yeah. Good lad.
I played for four teams out with Celtic, including FC 20 and Rapid Vienna. Bit topical there.
Okay.
In?
Nothing yet. Can you go, Paddy?
No.
Okay, the guesses are free.
No.
Yeah. Okay. I was capped 19 times for my country. I'm still active in football as a senior scout at a top European club. I've got two bonuses if you need them.
Aye. Bonus, please.
I'd like one.
Rasmussen.
Bonus one, I've scored at least two of your favourite Celtic goals in the last 16 years.
Braffitt? Elkadouri?
No.
Bonus number two?
My clubs are Twint, PSV, Celtic, Rapid Vienna, PSV.
Rapid Vienna?
Was it?
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
There you go. Top man. The answer will be beeped out so everyone at home can have a go. And as always, we'll put the question out on social. If you want to set the mystery Celt for a future episode, just get in touch and let us know and we can set that up for you as well. We'll move on to the final section of the night, which is listeners' questions. And similarly to the mystery Celt, if you want to send your question in for discussion by the panel, then you can do so at any time in one of a few different ways. Firstly, you could send us a DM on Twitter at Celt Exchange. You could leave a voice clip by clicking the icon in the bottom right of any page of our website at theceltic.com, or email me directly on tino@theceltic.com. What is it, Miff?
You don't send a DM, you slide in.
To fit it.
From a man who knows.
Fair enough. So the question this week comes from Robert McKeown. Robert is at RMKEO82 on Twitter. Robert's a good friend of the show. Quite simply, he's asked, if we don't sign cover at left back and striker, do you think we've got enough in the tank to win the league?
I think it'll be difficult. I think we need to fill those positions in order to protect against any injuries. I think Miff made a good point about Taylor. The workload's been too much. But anyway, he's just not there to try and pick up the pieces if he does fall injured. I don't think he does the job for us at all. So no, I think it would be a very, very tough decision if we were just to leave that line open. And I think it would be a very difficult league to go and win. I still think we have it in us, but I don't think we need to be under pressure that way.
Yeah. James, it would be hugely disappointing if we do announce Nicholas Coon in the next 24 hours and that's it.
It would be disappointing. It wouldn't be the biggest surprise. I've got, I suppose, two answers for Rab. One, depending on whether Peter Law is listening. If he isn't listening, then yes, I think we have enough. I think there's a chasm between Celtic and Rangers, and I think they're about to go on tilt. If they don't take maximum points in the next three games, I think they're in all sorts of bother. He's in all sorts of bother as a manager. He's doing crazy things in friendlies. It's, you know, ranting at, you know, post-match games and stuff. It's, I think there's such a chasm between us. I think we've more than got enough to deal with this. We shouldn't ever be taking that as our way of doing business. We need to bolster the squad. So yeah, I think we should sign those positions. Even if you're just looking ahead to, you know, hopefully win the league and getting Champions League, then they're established, they're ready to play. They're not, you know, as Paddy's saying about Owen Beck, you're not having to kind of get somebody back up to speed right straight away. So yeah, we definitely need to sign those players, but I think the squad's got enough to deal with.
My worry is that I'm not entirely worried about them, to be honest. I'm worried about the first half of the season and the inconsistency that we showed. Albeit some great results there at the end, and to walk away with four wins out of four leading up to that winter break, I was really happy with that, really impressed by it as well. I didn't think we would actually do it. I think now that, you know, we've got the 8 points, and hopefully remains more, but it could come down to two. I just think that we don't sit on our hands here. I think we really need to get more players in. We need to bolster what we're doing, because as we've seen in the first half of the season, it just takes injuries. I think the style of football that we play, we attract injuries. It's just part of what we do. We're trying to play at a really high tempo for the majority of all our games that we're playing now. And I just don't think the cover's there for the positions that are needed. And the knock-on effect between left-back goalkeeper and left-centre-back is there to see last in the first half of that season. And I'm not having a go at Scales, but he was caught in a hard place between Joe Hart and Greg Taylor, and a lot of mistakes were coming from that area. People will target that, so yeah, we need to be ready.
They were targeting it.
Aye.
Last 2-3 months.
We need to be ready.
And as always, Miff, it's complacency that could be Celtic's biggest problem here.
Absolutely. to go back to Rabs, Robert, sorry.
Aye, I don't know if it's Rab. I'm sure he's.
I'm sure he won't mind.
I don't know.
To go back to Robert's point, no, I don't think we win the league because Kyogo's only 8% fit. You know, that's something we seem to continually walk past.
Yeah.
You know, that's shoulder. Yep, well done. So, you know, for that point of view, it's not going to take much for there potentially to be an issue there. Mm-hmm. And yet we don't seem to be wanting to safeguard ourselves against that. I would have thought that would have been something that would have landed very early January because it's priority because of the circumstances. Left back, less so, but then I suppose the same thing goes. Taylor's been heavily worked. You're only a strain or an injury away there. Then what you doing? Are you putting scales out there? Are you bringing Burnaby in for the cold?
Imagine Taylor gets injured on Sunday.
You know,
do you know what I mean?
We're leaving ourselves needlessly short. So, for me, I think if you had injuries in those positions, it would be a struggle. If I'm being perfectly honest, and also I take the point about, you know, that this same away trip that Rangers have had seems to have been a wee bit of a sort of comedy fest and various different things happening.
call it La Mangled.
But I don't think you can just walk past their form against other teams.
Aye.
You know, you need to. Their form, since Comont's come in, their form against other teams has been better than ours.
It's easy to get at least one penalty a game.
No, but we've had injuries.
But they're going to keep
They've had injuries. They put away the other teams better than we did. That's just a fact. So, whilst I accept we're 8 points clear, but they've got their two games in hand, for me, I don't think we're in a comfortable enough position where we can be complacent.
Yeah. No.
This is a title race.
Yeah.
So, sign who we need to sign, and if you don't, then that's poor for the board and it's on them.
Yeah, exactly. So just the lie of the land, and most folk will know the position, but Celtic are 8 points clear, but Rangers do have two games in hand, so it could come down to just 2 points. We've now played 22 of our 38 league games, so 16 remaining. The goal difference, which could be relevant, I mean, that'd be terrifying if it came down to goal difference, but at the moment Celtic are plus 38 and Rangers are plus 30. So yeah, I suppose just, you know, to answer the question then, James, if we don't sign anyone, do we still have enough? Yes or no?
Yes.
Paddy?
Yes, but it'll be a struggle.
Yes, but.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Math?
Maybe.
One each.
Two yes of it. I think yes as well, but to James's point, let's not let that information get back
would
to
you?
I would say this. I think, and no offence to the team that we have, I really mean that. They've done so well in the last two seasons, but it's two poor teams. It's two poor teams this season. It really is. We've been watching some really, really poor football in the first half of the season. Suspensions and injuries, granted, yep, we'll take them into consideration, and I will at the end of the season, of course. But what is exciting me for the second half of the season, hopefully this young guy, a 24-year-old coming in, but we have seen the weaknesses in the first half of the season and we've not addressed that yet. That's a worry.
What, on the other side of that, I take confidence from the fact that we did struggle for consistency, you know, inconsistent team lineups, inconsistent results, we got all of that. But all of a sudden we've managed to string together four wins for the first time this season and looked like a far better side in those last few games as well. It was, on paper, it was all about getting results, but actually the way Celtic played and the way they approached those games, I thought was really encouraging.
And I have a theory in that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it coincided with Maeda being back, and I'm nervy with Maeda being away. And I know you'll look at me and go, he runs down the wing and boots the ball right out of the park. And yous are correct. However, he is so pivotal to how we play off the ball.
I agree. I think he is off the ball. Absolutely, yep. It's off the ball. He's I think he's hopeless on the ball. But it's the movement and the running and the pinning back that he does is so pivotal.
It's everything. It's the cohesion of the full team.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, wee baldy guy running about out in the wing, you'll think he can't have that much an impact. But you saw it in the Rangers game. See, when you're at the games and you see what the ground that he covers, he's doing the work of three men at times, and that's not an exaggeration.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable, and how quickly he gets back in to shape, and just, you know, there he popped up with the goal as well against St Mirren. First minute, bang, in he goes. It's a great goal, but he's capable, you know, he's capable of popping up with big goals as well. And I just think with him going away, that's kind of what worries me. I agree with what you're saying, you know, a bit of cohesion in the team, fluid football, looked a lot more like it, confident again, few players coming back, but more depth coming off the bench, all great. You know, I'm not trying to poo-poo it, that's the wee kind of worry I've got, is us not signing who we need to sign or strengthening the positions we need to strengthen, and also Maeda being away, I think it's going to have a bigger impact than probably a lot of us realise.
I think, you know, against Rangers, to a degree, and against St Mirren, yes, absolutely, but when he was getting his match fitness before those games, he was honking. Right, you know, the worst.
It was poor against Hearts.
I think it's more that Bernardo decided to turn up the day before, the week before Bernardo, you know, really started showing us what he can do, we done a post match and I said he looks like a bad signing.
Aye.
And he went, shut it. And he just went on a run.
Yeah, I know, I mean,
I heard him.
In fairness, I was questioning. What is it he's there to do? It looks like he gets the ball, just fetch and carry, gives it to somebody else. But I would agree, for whatever reason, he's just stepped up, and it's great to see. You know, it's great to see.
He's still here, so.
He is very quick at that, and I think that is, we actually have kind of unlocked something out of him finally. It's more, we spoke about the dig that he kind of started to show, but actually, it's like another player off the ball, what he's doing, the work he's doing, and the space he's creating for Matt O'Riley. And dare I say, we're maybe starting to see this at the beginning, hopefully when the guys come back for the Asian Cup, Kyogo is coming more into the game in that position. We see what we kind of seen in the first month, where Kyogo was dropping deep, maybe too deep to what Rodgers would have wanted. But the idea is for him to drop deep and then also be that linking player as well. And I think that if you've got two players that go to run on beyond you, like Matt O'Riley, and now what we're seeing from Bernardo, that's a good sign as well, that tactic is maybe starting to come back into it.
I mean, the upturn in form could be a combination of all of the above. It could certainly, Bernardo's individual form has been a reason for it. Maeda's return, a reason. Hatate just being back around the squad can be a reason. He's not had many minutes.
Who's the game?
Levels are up.
Yep. The boost that he gives. Yeah,
no doubt.
The options on the bench are of a different level than what they were just a few weeks ago. So could be all of that. So I think in answer to Robert, and Robert, thanks for the question and the ongoing support.
Great question.
It is a good question. And I think, yes, I think we feel we probably would have enough, but we don't want Celtic to be complacent, and that's right now that's an unanswered question.
I would be really, really upset if we don't sign what we need to sign, and I think fans would let the board know that as well.
Of that, there is no doubt.
And also, you're jeopardising Brendan Rodgers as your manager, because if I was his agent and he tells you what you need in January and you don't do it, I'm saying get ready.
Yeah.
Work to be done. 16 odd days to do it. So let's see what happens. Just a final wee bit of chat before we close out the show. Obviously, we're back in competitive action on Sunday. It's a 4 o'clock kickoff, Scottish Cup against Bucky Thistle. It's an interesting one, isn't it? It was an interesting tie. Biggest day of their footballing lives for them as a club, and they seem to have approached it in the right manner. It's none of that, you know, careful what you wish for, lads, but they were delighted to get Celtic. I think it's just whether you're a Celtic fan or a Rangers fan playing for Bucky Thistle, it's a huge occasion. They seem to be having a decent season. They're fifth at the moment in the Highland League, but they've won their last 10 games on the bounce. That includes three Scottish Cup ties. Now, I'm not suggesting for a second that Celtic should be fearful of what they bring. If Celtic even half turn up, we should be more than capable. But it's an interesting game. It's an intriguing one, and one to look forward to.
Yeah, I mean, that is the beauty of the Cup, isn't it? You know, you get teams to come to, and getting the away tie was great for them as well, because, you know, it's a money maker. So it should be an interesting tie. It's the first game back after the break, so we were a wee bit colder. But yeah, I think we'll obviously, you know, do the job. Interesting question. I think they were going to request if they could wear the hoops and we were an alternate strip. What's your answer?
Yes.
Yes?
Oh, you like them,
man. No chance, man.
No. Oh, Celtic wear the hoops at home.
No chance.
It's their day.
I know. Correct, Paddy. That's why I was
well. 1-0, Bucky Thistle.
It's their day.
A couple of safeties.
It's their day.
It's their day. Let them wear the hoops. And then a few folk maybe buy it and that give them a turn.
You can buy it anyway.
I wouldn't buy the strip. I'd just buy Bucky.
Two games in a row, Celtic will be a
the bottle that is, no, the tithe.
Celtic Park will be a sea of green and white.
Yes.
Two games in a row.
I think you let them. You let them be.
Yeah. Paddy, is a game you're looking forward to?
Tough crowd.
If the weather's like -7, probably no.
It's going to be fresh 4 o'clock on Sunday.
Aye. No, I think well done to them for getting to where they have. And I absolutely, I'm with you. Like, that's the magic of the Cup. That's what it's all about for these guys, getting this opportunity. And, you know, a moment they'll never forget. I say that, do we go and stick 5, 6, 7 past them? We probably do.
I'm of a certain vintage. I can remember, did we only beat Whitehill Welfare 2-0?
2-0, I was at it. Easter Road.
Easter Road. And we played East Kilbride fairly recently as well.
When was that?
95.
Pierre was playing. Pierre had just signed 95.
I've no recollection.
January 96.
Celtics in Crisis banners.
Aye.
Yeah.
The old main stand.
East Kilbride.
Yeah.
Under
yeah.
Dialogue.
Yeah. Did they...
what I'm saying is
scored the West Ham guy,
Carlton Cole.
He's
gone.
What I'm saying is there's previous for these games been, you know, you expect it to be a cricket score, but In actual fact, you've just got guys defending for their life and it being, you know, defence attack. Yeah, defence attack, and maybe it takes a while to break them down. So, I mean, was it last season or the first season under Ange? I was at the Morton game or the Dunfermline game. Was it Dunfermline or
Rovers at midweek, cold night. Liam Scales.
It was a Morton game, and Morton were brilliant for the first 10 minutes, and then we got a really dodgy penalty. But it just, these games sometimes the opposition are so, just typical, but they're so motivated.
Of course.
You know, when they come, so it's up to us to match it.
Yeah, I think so. But as I say, it's an interesting one and one to look forward to. So 4 o'clock Sunday, Celtic v Bucky Thistle and the Scottish Cup. Paddy, your final comments as we start to wrap this one up.
Yeah, just excited for the second half of the season to start. I think that we do have a long way to go. I think I would just feel a bit more comfortable if we get the players in that we want in. I don't know if my trust is there for the board to go and deliver that, but I definitely believe that my manager will be pushing for it and asking for these things to happen. If we get them, we're going to push on. I really think so. I think we just hope that we're not leaving it too late at the end of this window. I'd like to get the guys in now. I take your point in terms of players maybe being at risk in a game like Sunday, but also what a way to go and start your Celtic career, bagging a couple of goals or even getting a couple of assists under your belt to start things off. And just to play, the fans getting to see a sight of you as well. So I wouldn't just want one in. I wouldn't mind a second player being in.
When you said my manager, I was looking at Miffy, gave you a right dirty look. Did not like
I've
it.
Backed him since day dot. So,
no, I know you have. I've no.
I know you.
James, your own final comments.
Yeah, I mean, I think the winter break's been handy. You saw the players get a bit of R&R, and then...
Yes, did you see the pictures there, Riley?
I can't believe it took you this long to bring that up.
Come on. Gee.
So a bit of that, and then...
Interestingly, Kate's not in it, Riley, is that right?
She says that. She's just appeasing me. Aye. She's appeasing me.
It's all talking. Aye. Sorry, continue.
Back on the training pitch last Friday. So yeah, getting them back up to speed. Good game to start back against Bucky Thistle. Should be a bit of a kind of celebratory atmosphere for everyone, and great for them to get to that big stage. But the real work is off the park for us at the moment, and it's over to the full recruitment team, Mark Law and the rest, to show us that you've been working and you can deliver, because the way to win this league is not to get into a dogfight, it's to just tear away across the end of January, all of February, win your games until the start of March, and you should be well out of sight of them. So it's all in the recruitment team for me.
I'd agree with that. My final words go to you.
Great to be back. And great for Celtic to be back as well. I'm actually looking forward to the game Sunday. Just it feels like something a wee bit different. So really looking forward to going along, and looking forward just to going and watching Celtic again. Simple as that. A few signings, please.
Yes, please, absolutely.
Please, so, please.
That wraps things up on this latest episode of the Celtic Exchange Weekly. Thanks to James, Paddy and Muff for joining me, and our thanks as always to you for tuning in. We'll be back on Friday with the Countdown to Kickoff show ahead of Sunday's Scottish Cup tie with Bucky Thistle. And if you haven't done so already, be sure to sign up at thecelticexchange.com for our free weekly newsletter, Celtic 321, in time to receive the latest edition on Tuesday afternoon. But in the meantime, as always, thanks for supporting the Celtic Exchange, and we'll see you again very soon. Network.